This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Giving you all you need to know. Power Business, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Speaking right now to Sasria Insurance, having raised concern about what looks like sporadic protests as well as unrest currently taking place in various parts of the country. I mean, more recently, at least prior to COVID-19, the frequency of social unrest events has increased. In late 2019, unrest in both South Africa and the Middle East drove the number of such events to its highest level in 3 decades. And although a combination of restrictions on activity and voluntary abstention from mass gatherings meant that unrest ceased almost entirely during the first wave of the pandemic, it remains to be seen whether it will reemerge, as as we have right now, restrictions have eased quite substantially as well. Speaking to us right now is Mpumi Tikwe, who's the Sasria Chief Executive Officer. A pleasure to have you on the program this evening. Firstly, tell us some of the concerns being raised by Sasria here about what looks like sporadic protests as well as unrest, which is currently taking place in various parts of South Africa.
Yes, good evening, Nhlanhla, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, as Sasria, we are quite concerned about the events that are unfolding that are in relation to what is going on at Eskom. We know that we've had the problem with Eskoms for the last 15 years at least, and rightfully so, South Africans are angry, they are frustrated with load shedding. And what we have noticed, and apologies for that, and observed the increasing number of protests, but even more, if you monitor your timeline and most social media accounts, you'll find that there are a lot more people saying that we should be having various forms of protest to show anger against of what's happening at Eskom. So from a Sasria point of view, what we would like to appeal to many South Africans, as much as it is our legitimate right to protest and to show our anger, normally our protests follow, what follows them is destruction of infrastructure. And what we would like to appeal to South Africans is that, yes, do protest, but can we spare our infrastructure in that particular process? You'll have seen, for instance, last week there was some protest in Witbank or in Malahleni on the N4, where the committee members blockaded the N4 highway, and then they started banning vehicles and trucks. And some of these trucks carry necessary goods that are required by various communities. So, you know, when we destroy what's in the truck, we don't know how valuable what is inside that truck is to where it's intended to go.
But of course, as you've already started alluding to, there are economic causes to some of these protests as well as unrest that we keep seeing. And while we do have now a very solid picture of when social unrest does occur, really identifying and the underlying drivers is even a more complex task or even exercise at this point. Give us your observations there.
Look, yes, I mean, we understand the drivers. I mean, we've got a high percentage of youth unemployment. We've got, high unemployment. We've got increased crime levels. And also, you know, many South Africans, as you were saying earlier in your show, small businesses are heavily affected by this load shedding. Some are leading to closure. And we are hoping that small businesses are going to be the engine room of job creations in South Africa. So the more we have people unemployed, the more likely that we are going to have increases in protests. And if you have young people protesting, the unintended consequence of that is that there's going to be property destruction. And this is what we want to, you know, to advise South Africans that right, it is not very, very helpful. We are all, you know, in the same boat, you know, we are currently sailing in troubled waters, and our boat has got holes. It does not help in any way for us to put more holes in the boat. we will all literally sink. And whatever solution that is being imagined by ESCOM management, by the presidents at the moment, if we've got no economy, to start from, then it makes our job a little more difficult as South Africans.
But let's now share lessons learned from that July 2021 unrest. Really, from an insurance point of view, how costly does the destruction of property, especially on a wide scale as the one that we saw during those protests in parts of KZN and here in Gauteng as well, what is the cost of such a destruction, especially when it happens at such a large scale?
Exactly. Thanks, Natla, for that question. It's very important. What we saw in July, Sasria experienced a loss of 32 billion rand. So the cumulative amount of the losses that we had over that period, now over a year now since it happened, we know now that figure is 32 billion. The South African government had to bail us out with an amount of 22 billion. So that 22 billion comes from you and I and all the various taxpayers from South Africa. The South African government gets the money from the South African citizens. That 22 billion that was used to bail out Sasria so that we could pay the claims and recapitalize that business, that 22 billion could have been used for other causes. It could have been used to help out ESCOM with their diesel purchases or to sort out its generator problem. So that was the immediate problem that we saw from a financial point of view. But it also brought hardships into people's lives. I know certain companies, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, who basically packed their bags and left our shores never to come back.
Mm.
So it created unemployment, job losses. Secondly, just buying bread has become more expensive because instead of just stepping to the mall near you, you now have to catch a taxi ride to somewhere for you to just get a loaf of bread and milk. So those are the things that as South Africans we learned. But on the positive side, though, I think as Sasria, we are grateful the role that the community, especially you saw in, like here in Soweto, in Gauteng, where people said, no more. We cannot continue doing this destruction. So there are various communities in South Africa where people are saying, look, let's not destroy infrastructure as we protest. The taxi industry came to our rescue as well. So those are some of the positive lessons that we learned during the July unrest.
At the beginning of our conversation, you touched on a very interesting aspect to this about the need to protest in a very responsible manner with no destruction to property. But many will argue, at least those that I've certainly spoken to, when these protests get really heated, is that unfortunately the only language that the powers that be, or whether it be government or whoever's attention that you're trying to get to, the only kind of language they understand is that of the destruction of property. What's your response to such an assertion?
Yes, look, it's quite sad. Yes, there is an inclination to say that people in power often respond to violence. If there is no violence, they don't respond. But I must say, one of the things we've observed as Sasria and generally as the insurance industry at large, and this was an assertion made in one of our conferences, is that we have got a listening president in President Cyril Ramaphosa. Yes, I think the solutions that are required to get us out of this mess that we are in are far much more complex. But there is one thing that I can say. We have seen the president when we've got now my English data bundles are escaping me. When we've got our backs, when we've got our backs against the wall, and we appeal to the president, and he has listened, and he has tried to come up with solutions. So my appeal will be that I'm not by any means advocating that South Africans should not protest legitimately, as it is their right. We do have a listening president. The solutions for ESCOM, though, the new board and the management that is at ESCOM, they're busy mapping out how this problem could be solved. I have a faith in that in time we'll come up with a lasting solution. But one thing I can say, though, he is a listening president.
But given any threat of what may be a violent protest, I mean, even just the talk of possible unrest within the country also prompts a certain level of worry, especially for businesses, whether big or small, to say that maybe they might have to also relook at what exactly they are covered for. What considerations would you say need to be made from an insurance point of view?
Look, yes, people should speak to their insurance brokers or their insurance companies and make sure that, you know, they have Sasria as standard cover. On our side, what we are also doing is that we are preparing for the worst case scenario, which is if these you know, sporadic events that are currently happening increase in intensity, that Sasria will be in a position to meet whatever claims that could arise. But in essence, all that is required, you know, Sasria cover is quite affordable, especially for the small business. You are not looking at a premium of more than the average premium for a small business. You are looking at about 70, 80 bucks per month. It is affordable. So speak to your broker, get the cover, and make sure that you are protected. But having said all of that, from our side as well, you know, we do buy reinsurance cover from global markets. So when they start seeing this protest and destruction to property, then it means that the premium that Sasria has to pay to global reinsurers like Lloyd's of London for South African business and South African public to get this cover, it gets more expensive. And then we have to pass on that increase to our consumers. This is not something we'd like to do. We'd like to keep Sasria premiums as low and affordable as possible.
Bumi Kikwe, he's Sasria Chief Executive Officer, of course raising their concerns about what looks like another round of sporadic protests as well as unrest, which also has shown in recent times taking place in various parts of the country. And of course, it also comes at a time where there's a lot of talk about the mobilization of protests over what is South Africa's electricity crisis. And more recently, at least prior to COVID-19, the frequency of social unrest events has increased. In late 2019, contemporary unrest in South Africa as well as the Middle East drove the number of such events to literally its highest level in 3 decades. And although a combination of restrictions on activity and voluntary abstention from mass gathering events meant that unrest ceased almost entirely during the first wave of the pandemic, yet it really remains to be seen whether it will reemerge, especially now as a lot of talk or mulling around is going on possible protests or mass gatherings that might be organized in response to the country's power crisis and many other issues, including a high unemployment rate, a growing rate of inequality as well in this country. But let's get the latest right now in your news headlines. Here's Bayanda Zibonti.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.